you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Reading from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, March 27th, 2023. It's going to be a Testimony Tuesday on Monday, listening friend. In fact, we quickly left a conference that we're attending. I'm getting them over here to Marketplace Mall in Champaign, and then it's back to the conference. So thank you, Ubi and Eric, for carving out time. I know you got to get back to your table and the conference and all the great things that God is doing at the conference, but appreciate you carving out time. In fact, for the next few weeks, I've lined up a number of the speakers from this conference. I'm very excited about it, and I want to alert our listeners, less than 2 weeks from today, in fact, a week from this coming Thursday at 6 p.m., Ubi's going to be back to share on the topic, Biblical and Practical Paths to Unity. In fact, he's going to come and share with the Ministry Leaders Network luncheon at noon, The Mysteries of Spiritual Leadership. And I thought, how can I make Ubi's time here in Illinois, he's coming in from Indiana, profitable and beneficial. And so he's going to speak to our ministry leaders and pastors at noon during our luncheon. And then he's going to stay on and we're going to record a future program with him. And then at 6 p.m., you are all invited, 6 p.m., that'll be on April 6th, to come out to the Great News Media Center here at Marketplace Mall as he speaks and teaches and talks about biblical and practical paths to unity. But wait, there's more. At 7 o'clock, our community-wide prayer gathering gathers, and he's going to join us for that and share a little with that group because we're all about unifying our churches under one banner, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have so much in common, and I love the diversity that this prayer group represents, over 25 different churches, so Ubi's going to stay around and share and be a part of that evening, so you're also invited to that, but put on your calendar 6 p.m. on April 6th to come out and hear about biblical and practical paths to unity, and then at 7 o'clock, if you can stay, our community-wide worship and prayer gathering, because we always feel before we petition God, before we intercede on behalf of our community or our nation, before we request things of God, we should first honor and worship Him. So we have a great worship leader that brings us into a time of worship. So hopefully you can put that on your calendar and be praying up Ubi. I've been talking with him for a few weeks. He was at an Iron Sharpens Iron ministry conference a few weeks ago in Springfield, and it just so happened our tables were next to each other, and so I was fascinated by some of the things he shared and was speaking about, and I told him I've been using some of his material over and over again. It's about followership. And it's an interesting concept, it's an interesting word, but it's very biblical, and so he'll share maybe some of that in the coming days, but I appreciate how God is using him. Well, this Saturday at the Iron Sharpens Iron Conference, he brought along a friend, Eric Tillman, and so we're going to have Eric share a little of some of his faith journey and life story. And I guess he's a Christian rapper, which I don't think I've had any Christian rappers on before. We've had other musicians and artists, but we want to see how God has led him to use his gift of songwriting and music to bless people. And so, Ubi, how about you starting by introducing Eric to our radio listening family? And then I'm going to have Eric at some point introduce you to our listening family. But you had told me off air that he's a great guy, great family. He's a brother in the Lord. You've really appreciated him and you've done ministry together. So tell us about Eric.
Eric Tillman, a.k.a. E2. Like you said, is a Christian rapper. I like to say he's a rapper. He's a Christian. He's a rapper. But I've known Eric for over a decade. You know, in the time that I've known him, he has just been a model of a great husband, an amazing father, and definitely a lover of Jesus. So, you know, for me, any time to ever travel with Eric, minister with Eric, or even just getting to witness him minister is always a blessing. So yeah, so E2, you know, I'm just happy that we get to sit together and be with you.
Now, E2, is that your rapper name?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, so E2, what does that mean? Or is the E for Eric, and then what's two?
So I am a junior, so Eric the second. But also, on the flip side of that, the scripture that you read today, that's kind of where my name was based out of too, because I want to live my life as a sweet smelling aroma unto God. It calls us to action. That scripture calls us to follow. It calls us to walk in a way of love just like Christ did. And when God sees me, smells me, I don't want to smell like sin. So I want to be a sweet smelling aroma unto God just like Jesus was.
So about your faith journey, I know that we're kind of winging this together. I just met you at the conference, and I trusted Ubi's recommendation. But take us a little through that faith journey, because again, we have listeners that haven't even started a faith journey to senior saints. But did you grow up in a Christian home?
No, not at all. I didn't grow up in a Christian home at all. I was the youngest of four, and my mom didn't take us to church regularly. I was the last one in the house because I was the youngest, of course. And back in when I was in the third or fourth grade, my mom moved to St. Louis, and all my other brothers and sisters was out the house. And from time to time, my brothers and my sister, they would call me because they had already started their faith journey. By the time I was, me and my mom had moved to St. Louis, they had already started their faith journey and, you know, in college and things like that, starting their own families. And they would call me and kind of bring some conviction because, you know, just trying to talk to me about God. You know, I didn't immediately gravitate towards Jesus, but me and my wife met in school. And we got married in 2007. We decided to move away from St. Louis. And in 2008, we moved to Evansville, Indiana. And that Sunday that we moved to Evansville, Indiana, I decided to give my life completely over to the Lord. And that reason being, I was hoping for a job, expecting to get a job, didn't get it, went back and told my wife that I felt like a complete failure. And that Sunday when we went to church, the pastor called me up, and the first thing he said out of his mouth was, "You're not a failure."
Wow.
And making a long story short, from that moment on, I was like, okay, God, I know that you're real. And I never turned back from then. And probably about a month after I had been following Jesus, I started hearing music, and I started hearing lyrics as well. And that kind of started my music journey. That's how I ended up becoming a rapper. So it was all based from God. He initiated. It wasn't in me to do beforehand. So, yeah, that's kind of how I...
And I was wondering how God's word maybe influenced or does influence your lyrics. So when you came to Christ, did you have a greater hunger? Or did God's word seem to come more alive? Because there's people that are listening that, well, I try to read the Bible and it just doesn't make sense. But maybe they haven't really crossed the line where they said, Lord Jesus, be my Savior, be my Lord. I want your Holy Spirit to enlighten my mind and heart as I read. So did you start like things were coming alive or coming off the pages?
Yes, that made all of the difference. Giving my life and praying and seeking him in what I was reading. God, give me the mind to understand. Let me understand what I'm reading. And it would be literally things that I would be going through that it would be answers for when I opened up my Bible. And I had never experienced the Bible on that level before. I had read it before. But until that time, I hadn't experienced it, you know, literally what I was going through, he would give me and show me answers too.
Were there musicians in the family or a history of others?
Yes, actually. Okay. My brother was a singer. He plays multiple instruments. So I actually used his computer to make my first production.
Like Garbage Band or, you know,
Garage Band.
Garbage Band. I'm out of the loop. Yeah.
I love that.
Garage Band. Garbage Band. Yeah. So he was a musician. Yeah. So I heard him growing up singing and, you know, rapping and doing different things, but it wasn't for Jesus. But by the time I had moved to Evansville, he had been a worship leader. So,
Now, apparently you met Ubi in Evansville. And so I want you to introduce him. And we're going to get a little bit of his faith journey because he'll be coming to town on Thursday, April 6th. And I want to encourage our radio listeners to come out at 6 p.m. And the pastors and ministry leaders will be having him during the lunchtime. But talk about him from your perspective, how you've seen God use him in your life.
Yes. So I've been knowing Ubi for 10 years as well. One thing that I can say is that when he opens his mouth and he lets God use him every time he does, it's always something that you can take away. For the duration of our relationship, it's always been that. It's always something that you can take away, learn. And he doesn't only study God's word, doesn't only read God's word, but he loves God and loves God's word and God's people. And that's an admirable trait as far as I'm concerned. And at any time that I've seen him, it's just been consistent. It's always been consistent. He'll call me and, "Eric, let's just go have lunch." It can be midday and, you know, he'll come out and sit down and have lunch and we'll talk about life. We'll catch up. And no matter how many times, you know, how long it's been, it's always like we just picking up from yesterday.
Appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, I can testify in the introduction of the program, I mentioned that a couple of weeks ago in Springfield, our tables were side by side and I was just captivated by his topic and sharing. And I've used one illustration about the centurion and it's just, I've used it many, many times, but I don't know statistically the odds because there were so many different tables and different places of location, but there we were next to each other in Springfield. Yeah. Well, in Champaign, we were next to each other again. He was on one side, I was on the other side, but we backed into each other. And I thought, what are the odds that here we are meeting up again? But I thought God just wants to emphasize he wants us together. And that's why, Ubi, I'm glad to have you come in on Thursday, April 6th for the Ministry Leaders Network. And they've gotten an email and the announcement about your topic, the mystery of spiritual leadership. And then in the evening, all of our Great News Radio listeners are invited to come out for biblical and practical paths to unity. And so put that on your calendar, everyone. But you love ministering for the Lord. God has used you from a Catholic tradition in Africa to a more charismatic, you know, introduction to the faith, and then like Baptist seminary or Baptist study. And so you really have seen God introduce you to different traditions to give you maybe a greater balance or understanding. And yet you have a real heart for unity and servanthood and some other facets. So in a few minutes, give us a little summary of what people can expect on April 6th or what recently the Lord is putting on your heart.
Well, Mark, it's definitely an honor and a pleasure to be with you. I'm definitely looking forward to April the 6th. But just in short, I think God's burden and what he's burdened me with is a desire to grow in him and to foster the unity of the church. You know, so it's just helping Christians grow in their faith and their love for Jesus Christ and their love for one another, but also fostering and maintaining or even growing the unity of the church. Mm-hmm. You know, in John 17:20-21, Jesus prays the prayer and he says, "Father, I pray that they would be one," referring to the apostles and us, right? "I pray that they would be one as you and I are one, so that the world might know that you love me, that you love them." Right. So when we look at Jesus's prayer and we see in Ephesians 4, the Holy Spirit's exhortation through Paul to maintain the unity of the church, we see the same thing captured in Revelation. So when we look at scripture, we see a very clear picture of a diverse, unified church. Mm-hmm. Now, I think sometimes when we, you know, when we have conversations around unity, that people get kind of uncomfortable because they're like, "Well, how about heresy? How about false teaching?" Well, to be clear, the mandate of the gospel is that we unite in truth. So true Christian unity is unity in truth. Mm-hmm. And it requires work. It requires prayer. It requires studying scripture. And then it requires humbly coming together and looking at scripture and hearing what God's saying. So, so that's my heart. Because when we look at Jesus's prayer in John 17, we see a direct correlation between the conviction of the lost and the unity of the church. Mm. "Father, that they would be one so that the world may believe that you love me and that you sent me and that you love them." Mm. So I can truly say, just looking at that prayer, I don't think I can truly say that I have a passion to see the lost come to Jesus if I do not have a passion for the unity of the church of Jesus Christ, right? So if I really want to see people who don't know Jesus turn to Jesus Christ, I should be putting as much work in ensuring that the church of Jesus Christ is being united. Mm-hmm. And when we look at church culture today, what we see is a maintaining of the status quo. You know, You believe your way, I'll believe my way. You practice your way, I'll practice my way. I don't think that's, you know, I don't believe that that is God's heart.
Yeah, it's that tribalism kind of, we're going to do our thing over here this way.
Right.
And another thing I wrote down as you were speaking that I get excited about, you know, we have that passage, God is love. And I love the fact that there's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And love existed in that triune Godhead.
Absolutely.
It's kind of a mystery, yes. But the three were one and yet distinct and different,
yeah.
Yet love existed because there was that relationship, and that relationship is offered to all of us. And when Jesus says that they may be one as we are one, he's really intending us to love one another and to be, not be identical, but to be unique and yet to have that unity
right.
In Christ.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Wow. So yeah. When you come and you're going to talk a bit about the mystery of spiritual leadership, how is that going to encourage or equip or empower pastors and the ministry leaders that gather at noon?
So on the spirituality of leadership, what I love the most about it as it relates to church leaders is that when it's implemented, it makes church leadership much, much easier.
Hmm.
You know, Jesus is very clear. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. So let's be honest. If you're a Christian at all, but especially a ministry leader, there is a yoke and a burden.
Right.
There's no escaping that. But when we faithfully follow the commands of Jesus, as we find in Scripture, we see that it's easier. It's lighter. But when we look at studies and research coming from, you know, very reputable Christian organizations, what we find is that church leaders all over the world, but specifically in the Church of America, are speaking to how difficult and how frustrating church leadership is right now at this moment. So understanding spiritual leadership and actually working that out makes it, I believe, and based on the feedback I consistently get from leaders, is that it lightens the burden of leadership.
Mm.
Yeah. So,
and then for the 6 p.m. gathering that we'll be hosting here at the Great News Radio Center on April 6th, your topic is going to be biblical and practical paths to unity.
Yeah.
What are you going to hope to teach? Or if God could answer your prayers, what do you hope gets accomplished?
Well, like I said, let's be very clear. The Bible calls the church to be united in truth.
Mm.
And the Bible lays out a pathway for how that's done, right? So we don't have to say, what I tell people is, when a Christian says, let's agree to disagree, especially on matters of biblical interpretation or doctrine, I'm like, that's a big mistake, right? Because when we disagree on a particular issue, or when we disagree on our understanding of Scripture, that means we disagree on how we live out our faith.
Mm.
And if I love you, I cannot afford to say, let's agree to disagree, because Scripture is very clear that as we grow in truth, we experience more liberty, right? If you abide in my words, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So that speaks to the fact that the ratio to which I'm living out truth is the ratio of spiritual liberty I'm experiencing.
Mm.
So if I see a brother or sister who is living out what I call, who confesses what I consider to be a fallacy, if I say, let's agree to disagree, what I'm saying is, I'm okay with you remaining in whatever bondage you are, right? So the pursuit of truth doesn't mean we debate, but it means that we consistently have this heart for growing into truth. And it means that we are praying together, we are studying Scripture together, and that it's something that we're coming back to regularly.
Yeah, that's where I think you had given an example where that's why you keep those relationships intact. You
absolutely.
Keep touching base, you keep praying for them,
yes.
Or maybe there's something that's inaccurate, or because of a life experience, you have a bias or a prejudice or a tendency towards something because you have a blind spot.
Correct.
And then healthy conviction comes to you, like, you know, I have to really evaluate why I think that or what has influenced that decision.
Absolutely. Mm. And, you know, I think, you know, something that's extremely important is recognizing that growing in truth is part of the sanctification process, right? Mm-hmm. Typically, when we as Christians think of sanctification, which is growing in holiness, we think of the sanctification process as growing in moral character and growing in victory over sin.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't think of the sanctification process as growing in truth. When Jesus Christ says, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will lead you into more truth, mm-hmm. right? So I have to be humble enough to recognize that as I am growing in victory over sin, right, as I am growing in moral character because the Holy Spirit is transforming me from glory to glory into the image of Jesus Christ, that that progressive sanctification also includes my growing in truth. Mm-hmm. So I must take a position of humility, right, when it comes to dealing with truth. So I see a brother or sister who believes something different. I have a conviction. I have my conviction on what I believe is true. Mm-hmm. But I have to have this, I also have to have a position of humility, right, recognizing that I'm growing in truth. So I could be the one who's off, right? Mm-hmm. Yes, you know, so there are practical steps and approaches to how we explore growth in unity. And as Christians, we just can't afford to say, you go do your thing, right, and I go do my thing.
Yeah. Well, listening friends, put it on your calendar. April 6th here at the Great News Media Center for the pastors and ministry leaders. We'll be eating at noon. You'll get an email update and a reminder about that. But at 6 p.m., it's open up to all of our Great News Media listeners. Travel in. It'll be a worthwhile hour. It'll go from 6 to 7 p.m. The topic will be biblical and practical paths to unity. Then at 7 o'clock, we'll begin with our worship time for our community prayer gathering, and that goes from 6, always done on or before 8:30, and so you can plan accordingly. Maybe you can stay for both, but we'd love to have you, and that is happening on April 6th. If you need more information or directions, just call the station, 217-367-7777, 217-367-7777. And we're going to have you back, Ubi, to talk more about followership. I think it's an interesting concept. And maybe, Eric, he'll bring you along, because I was thinking today we could have you do a little rap song on the air, but we don't have time for that.
That's
but I want
right.
to know a little more about that. And maybe you can send us some songs and we can insert them into one of our upcoming programs. So thank you for sharing some of your testimony and faith journey.
No problem.
These programs are archived at greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org, also at wluj.org, wluj.org, and you can listen to them at any time. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.